Good morning. Good morning, Questers. I am so thankful to the Lord for you. You are such an amazing group of people. And we have 150 churches in the Central District of the E-Free, and I love them all. But I'll put it this way to you. You're the first among equals. Always something amazing that the Lord is doing among you, and just I'm so thankful for you. Two of the main reasons why I love this church so much are Kevin and Diane. So let's covenant to pray for them this week. Let's continue just to lift them up. And if there's a lull in the message and you get distracted, just use that as a prayer time. Okay. I'm going to bring a message today called The Blessing. We're going to take a detour from the series you're in and go into Genesis 11 and 12 today. You can turn there now. It's going to take me just a bit to get there. Is I want to set this up with a story that will be a story that you may want to tell either today or tomorrow. It's a great story to tell at a cookout, at a family gathering. It may lead you into some great conversation. It's the story of Larry Walters. Larry wanted to be a pilot. He went to the Air Force recruiting office and said, I want to be a pilot. They tested him out and they said, Larry, we're sorry. Your eyesight just isn't quite good enough. But that didn't stop Larry from wanting to be a pilot. He kept dreaming of different ways that he could do this. And then one day in 1982, after many months of planning, Larry went out and he bought 45 weather balloons. They were 8 feet high. He filled them with helium. And then he attached them to his lawn chair. Don't try this at home. He attached them to a lawn chair. He had with him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a six-pack of Miller Lite, and a BB gun. Here was his plan. He wanted to float over his neighborhood at 30 feet, get a good bird's-eye view, become kind of the talk of the neighborhood, to eat his peanut butter and jelly sandwich, to drink his six-pack of beer. And the BB gun, that was meant, if he had miscalculated just a bit, he could shoot out a balloon or two and level out at 30 feet. And when he got tired, when he had eaten his peanut butter and jelly sandwich and drank his beer, he would shoot out some more balloons and then slowly, softly land on the ground. What could possibly go wrong with a plan like that? So they had him tethered to the ground by a rope tied to a tree. They cut that rope, and as soon as they did, Larry shot up like he was shot out of a cannon. He didn't go to 30 feet. He didn't go to 130 feet. He went to 15,000 feet. He began to float into the flight path of the Long Beach, California airport. And some of the pilots began to radio in to the air traffic controller, there's a UFO out here. It's a UFO, but it looks a lot like a white guy in a lawn chair. And oh, by the way, he has a gun. Now, this caused the federal authorities to kind of scramble around quite a bit. A lot of turmoil. You'll see different versions of what happened on the internet. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I just know that he lived to tell, because he wound up on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And Johnny asked him the question that you and I want to know. Why? Larry, why did you do this? And Larry had a very simple but very profound answer. He said, well, you can't just sit there. You can't just sit there. And on that count, he is correct. Well, his methods might be misguided, misdirected, but he's right about that. We can't just sit there in life. And here's the reason. We're hardwired for more, much more. God made you and me to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. And he works in and through you if you make yourself available to do that, to make an eternal difference in the lives of other people. We're made for high adventure, great adventure, the adventure of a lifetime of pointing others to Christ, having a relationship with him, loving God and being loved by God, and then loving other people. There's a vertical and a horizontal dimension to that, to love God and to be loved by him and to love other people. Christ put the mission in these terms. He said, go and make disciples. He made it very clear. He was standing on a hill one day right before he ascended into heaven, and he told his disciples and he told us, go and make disciples. In other words, make an eternal difference with your life. The Lord working in and through you to impact lives for eternity. We're made for that. You and I are made for that. So on one hand, we want to make an eternal difference, but there's a tension. Because on the other hand, human nature is we want comfort. We want to make ourselves comfortable. We don't want to kind of make too many risks. We don't want to go against culture, maybe. We want to compromise to things to make life easier. On one hand, we want to make an eternal difference, the great adventure that God has created us for. On the other hand, we like comfort. Inertia can set in. Motion or objects at rest tend to stay at rest. And so we can just sit there. You feel the tension, and so do I. There have been times when I just sat there, when I could have made myself available and didn't. Let me take you to a passage today in which we see this at work, a very stark contrast between a father and a son, a father who starts off but then settles halfway, and a son who goes all in and surrenders. And he, on this day of independence, he declares dependence upon God. And God uses him in a powerful, powerful way. Genesis chapter 11, starting in the 31st verse. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. They settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Now that's odd. That's even more odd than attaching weather balloons to a lawn chair, I think. Let me describe what's going on here. I didn't make a map, but I'll draw one in the air for you. I'll draw it backwards for me and write the right way for you, hopefully. Ur of the Chaldeans is right here. Now, if you think back to ancient world history, and it's ancient for some of us, decades ago, we learned that Ur of the Chaldean is in Mesopotamia. Remember that? Mesopotamia, the middle of the civilized world, it all kind of grew up out of that. That's where it all sort of began. And Ur of the Chaldeans was the biggest city in the ancient world. It was the one that was the most cultured, the most civilized. The things that were happening in the world, many of them were centered right there at Ur of the Chaldeans. It was a place where the economy was booming. You could get a job there. It was a place where the creature comforts of the day were available to you. For example, the bathtub had been invented there, and people used the bathtub, a huge, huge advance in civilization. Not as good as the shower, but they didn't have that yet. They had the bathtub. They also were polytheistic there. They worshiped many gods. They were polytheists. They worshiped idols. Lots of idols in that day, as there are today. You say, well, we don't worship carved idols. Yes, but we have idols, whether that's the dollar bill or celebrity or any number of things can be an idol that we make. There, what they did was they worshiped many, many gods, including the moon. I'll get back to that in a moment. So they start off here, Ur of the Chaldeans, the heart of civilization right there. And they're going to go over here. They're going to go to Canaan, which is about as far as being advanced as you can get. There wasn't much here. Canaan was known for a couple of things, but the children are in here with us this morning, so I'm not going to mention what they are. You'll have to look it up. So they start off here, Ur of the Chaldeans are going to go here to Canaan, the promised land, the place that God wants them to go, the place where he will bless the world through. But there's a lot of desert land right in here. More than 1,000 miles. You don't want to go straight across there. That would have been very dangerous. So what they did, they left Ur of the Chaldeans. They went up along the Fertile Crescent to Haran. 500 miles. About halfway. And they settled there. Why did they do that? Well, the passage doesn't tell us exactly. I think we could make a leap and say that the ultimate reason that they stopped there halfway was a lack of faith. I think we're safe in saying that because Terah didn't really have faith. I'll share with you a couple of clues about that. First is his name. His name, Terah, means moon. Somewhere along the line, his parents decided that moon would be a good name for Terah. They had come from the line of Noah, the line of Shem, a family of faith, but maybe his parents were idolaters. That would be my hunch, because his name is Moon. Maybe you're not convinced by that. Let me show you another piece of evidence that's more convincing. It's Joshua 24, verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods." So it's just spelled out there for us. We don't have to speculate. Terah was an idol worshiper, and I would imagine he worshipped the moon along with other people right here. That was one of the things they worshipped the most, was the moon. And guess what? Haran was the center of moon worship. So they're traveling along. It's a long, arduous journey, you can imagine. Cover about 20 miles a day. Tough sledding. You're going up. You hit a place that is more like this. It's more comfortable. It's more like the culture you're from. And on top of it, they worship the moon. His name is Terah. They settle there, halfway. On the one hand, we want to make an eternal difference. On the other hand, we want comfort. That's a human nature quality. And he had that. And they settled there. And they stopped. Which brings me to a question. First question I want to ask you. It's a diagnostic question. It's the kind of question that I think we should ask ourselves individually quite often, actually. A heart condition question, and this is the question. Is something enticing you to go halfway in the mission that God has for you? You collectively, you're on track. You are really doing a lot of things, God working in and through you, but it's easy for us individually sometimes to fall off the pace, to settle, to just sit. Good question to ask. Is something enticing me to just go halfway in this mission, this wonderful mission that God has for us? A lot of things can pull us away. Whether that's comfort, whether that's compromise to a culture. It could be we just get too lazy. I've done that. But God wants to be working in and through you and me for a purpose, to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And there are so many opportunities for us all the time. And sometimes we miss them. The other day, my wife and I were sitting up at the pool. It was on Friday afternoon. I've been on vacation this week, and we're just sitting there, and someone in the neighborhood swims over, and she says, I just want to thank you for talking with me a couple weeks ago. And she was up at the pool, and I just said, how are you? And she said, well, not too good. And she went into a family situation that she was facing, and she told me some of the details of that. And I just took a moment, gave her a little bit of biblical advice. I don't even know if I can't remember if I told her this is from the Bible, but it was straight out of the Bible, some words of advice to her. And then I prayed for her there at the pool. And she was saying, you know, that was just so unbelievably unusual. I mean, who does that? Who prays at the pool with somebody? And I thought, that's kind of sad that we don't do that more. And more importantly, it's sad that I don't do that more. Because it's a bit uncomfortable, I guess, to pray at the pool. And yet, sometimes that's kind of what we need to do, to stop and lift someone up to the one who can help them. I thought about all the missed opportunities I've had. Now imagine if the Lord said to you what he's about to say to Abram. Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. In other words, you take some steps, you leave your country, you leave your people, you even leave family members behind if they won't go, and you go, and as you take those steps, then I will show you. I will show you. Because if I'm Abram, I want to go, I want to ask him, where are you taking me exactly? I know Canaan, but that's a large region. Where am I going? What is going to happen there? What will I encounter? And the Lord just says, no, you go. Walk by faith, not by sight. You take steps of faith, and then I will show you. I'll be with you. I'll be before you. I'll be alongside you. I'll work in you. Why? Why does God do this to bless the world? Eventually to bless you and me. Jesus comes through this line. As Abram takes steps of faith, as he declares his dependence upon God and then takes those steps of faith and does what God points him to do and goes to this place, God is going to do an amazing thing. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation. The nation of Israel, which is still a great nation, came through the line of Abraham. And I will bless you, he says. He doesn't hold back from him, and he's going to bless Abraham specifically. And he says, I will make your name great. You know what the name Abram means? It means father. Abram is 75 years old. He has no children. He must think, that's a crazy name for me. I don't have any children. How can I be named father? But now God will change his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Makes it even more outlandish. I'm going to be a father of a multitude and I have no children? Yes, that's exactly what will happen. God says, trust me. Second question for you. Why has God blessed you and me? Why has God blessed you and me? I mean, you think about all the blessings you have. This is a good day to do that. Think about your family. Think about all the financial, material blessings God has given you. But so much more, he's given you a relationship with him. He's given you purpose in your life. Why has he done that? Why has he been so good to us? I think it's the same reason he did this for Abraham, that he would be a blessing to others. that he would point other people to the goodness, the grace, the love, the mercy of God. And that, I believe, is our purpose as well, to point others to him and to trust him. I think trust is an issue that we can have. I started to bring this morning, but I realized if I showed you, you wouldn't really be able to see it. It's this blank sheet of paper with my name signed at the bottom and the date. It was some 20 years ago that I signed this. It's in a plaque. It's in a picture frame. It's in my office. And from time to time, I look at it just to remind myself of this. Now, in a sense, it's a contract with God. What I did was, I had been a Christian for 10 years or more when I did this, and I realized I had a control problem, that I kept trying to seize control of everything, and I wasn't relinquishing that control of my life over to the Lord like I should. So I went to this step of signing this blank contract, and what it means to me is, Lord, I want you to be the author of my life. This blank page is my life. You, Lord, you fill in that blank spot. If you lead me somewhere, I'll go. If you want me to do something, I'll do it. That was just something I did. I don't even know if it's the right thing to do, but it's something that I did and would suggest that maybe it's a good thing for you to think about. Because when I look at that blank contract, I remember, who's the author of my life? What does he want me to do? I want to do that. How are you trusting God? How are you doing with that? Do you trust him? Is he guiding you? Are you following? Verse 4 says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, and he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, finally. And they arrived there. They arrived there. And a miracle is going to happen there. At age 100, Abraham is going to become a father. At age 91, Sarah is going to become a mother. They give birth to Isaac. And it's through that line, I see some of you going, 91, wow. Through that line, Abraham and Isaac and the rest, we come to Jesus. Jesus comes out of that line. The long-awaited Messiah, the one that we need, he comes from that line. And we're all blessed because of that. The entire world is blessed. Which brings me to a third question, the last question I have for you. Who is it that God wants to bless through you? Who does God want to bless in and through you? That's a great question to ask. Because I know there are some people that God wants to bless in and through you today. And even while I've been talking, for some of you, the Holy Spirit has been putting the name and the face of someone on your mind and heart that God wants to bless through you, maybe even today. You say, well, how can I go about this? I want to be the kind of the conduit of blessing, God's blessing in and through my life to someone else. Well, what can I do? What should I do? Well, I want to give you a very, very simple plan that I've been trying to live out in my life. And it's the acronym BLESS. I'm a simple guy. I need a simple acronym. This is what the acronym BLESS means. The B is begin with prayer. And on Sunday, I try to pray about the week. Lord, what do you want to do in and through my life this week? How could you use my life, my availability to bless somebody else? And I just pray about that for a bit. Lord, would you help me to see the opportunities? Would you bless someone through me? The L is listen. You listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You listen for those promptings, those nudgings from the Spirit. And you listen to the conversation. Listen to what people say. The Lord will lead you into some areas, some times where you could bless somebody else. E is eat. That's my favorite part of the acronym right there. Eat. Because we all eat about 21 meals a week, give or take a few. I'm not counting snacks in there. It could be a lot more. But to eat, we all have to eat. And everyone you know has to eat. So what would happen if you just spent one meal a week sitting down with somebody, sharing life with them a little bit, and having the Holy Spirit lead you into conversation with that person? Can you imagine if for 6 weeks, because it takes about 6 weeks to develop a habit, if for 6 weeks, all of Quest, if you each met with one person a week for 6 weeks, how many hundreds or thousands of amazing conversations might result from that, with the Holy Spirit leading you in what to say and how to say it? You don't even have to eat. You can just have a cup of coffee or a smoothie or something. But the point is, to begin with prayer, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to eat with somebody, to kind of get yourself out of that comfort zone, to get yourself up out of the seat and into someone else's life for a moment. And then the first S is serve. As you listen to them, as you hear what they have to say, you figure out a way to serve them. Lord, how do you want me to bless this person? What can I do today to help this person? And you serve them. Maybe you serve alongside them. You serve somebody else. And the second S is story. You share the story. In some ways, this is bless with three S's because there are two stories to tell. There's your story and how it intersects with God's story. And vice versa. Your story. You begin to share a little bit about what God is doing in your life. You share your love for Jesus. You share his love for you with them. You share his love for them. God's story. You share a bit of the gospel with them. Bless. You begin with prayer. Listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You eat, you get yourself out of your seat, into another seat with them. You serve, you share the story, your story, God's story, and how their story intersects with that as well. Now, if we all did that, can you imagine what God would do in and through all of you together? And you could come to your BLT and talk about the stories of what God is doing among you. And you can come here and praise God for what he's doing. Would you be willing to do that just for 6 weeks? Because I know you got to eat. So just take that time, spend that time with somebody, invite them in, and let the Holy Spirit be at work. Is there a person, a place, or a priority that God is calling you to? Why not go there? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing to others. You have blessed our lives beyond all comprehension. And Lord, we want to make ourselves available to be a blessing to others. Would you help show us the way to do that? As we begin this week with prayer, we pray right now that you would use us to bless somebody else that we know. We listen right now even to the Holy Spirit. Lead us to a person, lead us to a place where you would be at work. Lord, we commit to eating or having a cup of coffee or just a conversation with somebody. And seeing where you will lead it. Lord, we want to serve them. We want to show some of your love and grace and mercy to them. We've known that. and we want to show that to others. Would you work through us? And Lord, would you help us to tell the story? Tell the phenomenal, amazing story of your love and grace and mercy for us. To share something of how we came to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. The joy of that. The wonder of that. That Jesus would come to this earth and take upon himself the sin that we committed. And to free us from that sin burden. To pay the debt for us. To make us right with a perfectly holy God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that. May we share the story. And may we share your story. The gospel message. May we be people of the good news to the people that we meet. Lord, would you bless them? And may we be blessed to be a blessing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.